Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Man, I'm a little bit hard of hearing. Praise the Lord. Amen. So good to be here in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Amen. You know, people say, man, you know, it seems like the Lord moves more on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. You know, don't really a whole lot happen on Wednesday. Well, my Bible tells me that the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that means that he can move just as powerful on Wednesday night as he can on Sunday. Amen. I'm so glad to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I want to go ahead and open up this service with prayer. I'd like to remember our prayer request list tonight. Let's remember Sister Dee Dee Freeland, Brother Eric Dozier. Let's keep praying for Sister Michelle Hammonds and Sister Renata Vanderberg. Amen. Remember all those names on the list. Praise the Lord. Let's just all stand tonight. Amen. And I want to go ahead and open up this service in prayer. And let's just remember these needs tonight. Let's ask God to have his way in this service tonight, can we? Lord, we're so thankful, God, to be here in this house tonight. God, we're so thankful for what we feel in this place, God. We love you, Lord. We pray that you would touch each and every need, God. You know each and every request, Lord, God. You see each and every need in this house, God. You see each and every name, Lord. We pray, God, that you begin to move in this house tonight, Lord God. Have your way in this place, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yours is the glory. Yours is.
Tonight, amen, all of this house. And I'd like for our ushers to come. Amen. While they're coming, I don't have a list up here of all of the, well, yes, I do. It's right here. Praise the Lord. I just need to open up my eyes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Please don't forget about all of our current events that we've got going on. We've got the June 6th, the summer game night at the R.L. Meyer Family Life Center. That's a from six to eight, $5 a person. Amen. Let's not forget about June 8th, Fresh Fire. That's going to be Pentecost Sunday. Brother Whitmore is going to be preaching. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Invite somebody to come with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. That way we can have an amazing service Sunday morning. Amen. Let's not forget about June 14th. Amen. All of the events are going to be up here on the board. Praise the Lord. Let's not forget about those. Amen. Let's pray for this offering tonight. Amen. If you don't have any to give, praise the Lord, you can, while we're praying, you can sneak over in your neighbor's purse or pocket. Amen. And get some of theirs. Praise the Lord. And I'm just playing. Don't do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all pray tonight over this offering. Praise the Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for this offering. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless those that have to give, Lord, and those that don't. We pray, God, that you would bless this tonight, Lord, that your name would be exalted, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Give unto the Lord tonight.
I believe. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in church. Man, every day's a good day to be at church. Amen. So good to be in church on a Wednesday night. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. This may sound kind of strange, this request I'm going to ask of you, but if you just oblige me tonight, why don't we kind of get out of our pew? Let's all kind of go sit on these front rows. It's a great crowd here tonight, but on camera, it looks like there's three people here. Amen. Y'all mind doing me a favor? Let's all kind of just move. Amen. If you sit in the front row, it won't hurt you. You may get double blessed. Amen. 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 Come on, let's do this thing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going to feel weird sitting in a different pew. I know. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We had four back into the front row. We got five. We're doing something here. God have mercy. What if I told you there was a $10,000 reward for those on the front row? You'd be pressing to the altar this morning. Amen. Oh, I'm just playing. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. God bless you. So good to be in service on a Wednesday evening. And just by way of reminder, again, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And looking forward to a great time in the Holy Ghost. Brother Rhodes will be, of course, it's our youth Sunday this Sunday morning. And he's preaching this Sunday morning. We talked about centering that around Pentecost Sunday. And then Sunday evening, Brother Jonathan Whittemore, evangelist, will be preaching for us in our 6 p.m. service. And you don't want to miss that. I believe God's going to do great things among us. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, I'll emphasize it again. It's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tonight's a good night, but Sunday will work too. Amen. But come expecting God to move. Invite somebody with you. Amen. It'd be great to have 300 people here on Sunday. Maybe we're going to pack this place out and the Holy Ghost fall. Amen. Amen. I'm not just saying that. It's God's will in these last days for God to move in unprecedented ways. And I'm so thankful for what he did this past Sunday, how God met with us and blessed us. And we're thankful. But I'm a very progressive thinker. Amen. As soon as service ends, I'm ready for Wednesday night. Think about what God's going to do next. Amen. Because God's always moving. He's always moving the next thing. Amen. So we're looking forward to what God's going to do tonight and Sunday. I do want to say before I get into the word tonight, thank you so much for being so kind and blessing my family and I with some nice baskets and some money. I can't thank you enough. God bless you for that. Our kids love that. And they really appreciate that. And thank you so much. It meant so much. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 5. Amen. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to switch that, Brother Darren, to New King James. I said King James. Sorry about that. New King James. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is the story of Jesus on the shore, and he's requesting these people to cast their nets to the other side of the boat. And we'll start in verse 1. It was as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered him and said, "Master, we've toiled all night and we ain't caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Would you mind, let's say that last line together. And their King James Version said, and the net break. King James always freaks me out, but But the net was breaking. Bible continues on and says this. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. I've given you a picture of an actual net, an actual fish, but I'm trying to teach you something, son. From now on, you're fixing to be catching men." King James says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Verse 11 says, "So when they had brought their boats to land," listen to this, "they forsook all and followed him." I want to hit back on verse 5 just for our text tonight. Simon answered and said, "Master, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. Nevertheless," everyone said obedience. "Nevertheless, God, at your word, I'm going to obey you here. I'm going to let down my net." And when he did, the net began to break. I want to preach tonight on a simple thought on simply net breaking God. Net breaking God. We serve a net breaking God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Anoint me, God. I'm nothing without you. God, speak to our hearts. I need your help tonight. God, bless this wonderful church. Bless this great group of believers who have gathered together to hear your word tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Help us, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I told you Sunday night that we're gonna, with God's help, I can't, but with God's help, we want to create a perpetual move of the Spirit of God. Amen. So that means on Sundays and Wednesdays, we want God to move all summer long. We want it to be a powerful surge of the Holy Ghost. And I want it to be before the summer's end that we're baptizing people and folks are getting the Holy Ghost on Wednesday nights. That is the will of God for this house this summer. Well, glory. Amen. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Net breaking God. A literal meaning of a net is this. It is a device made of interwoven cords or ropes that is designed to catch, to hold, or to trap objects. However, every net has its boundaries. Every net has its limits, and we know, just as our text told us tonight, that nets can only handle so much before they begin to stretch, to strain, and even to break. In simple terms, a net represents human limitation. And with that understanding of a literal net, you can easily transition from literal to a spiritual application, or to what the net represents symbolically. Symbolically, the net we're going to preach about tonight can represent capacity or means of collection. Symbolically, our nets represent the systems, the structures, or the vessels we use to receive, to carry, or to manage God's provision or blessings. Just like a net is designed to catch and to hold, these nets are the tools that we build in life to receive what God sends. This can include your bank account. It is a net. It's a place where financial provision, I pray, is received and stored. We have nets we call a budget. It is the system we use to manage and to direct the flow of resources. We have a net that is called a business model, and this is the structure through which increase and opportunity can come. There's even a net called your mindset. It is the mental framework that determines what we are even capable of believing God for. There is the net called ministry methods. It is the practical strategies and systems we use to reach people and to disciple people. The net symbolically represents structure. And the nets we have, they're not bad things per se. And God does give us wisdom to put funds into our bank, our net. God gives us wisdom to create a net, to create a budget, to know, as Dave says, where every dollar is going. God gives us wisdom to start the net, the idea, the business model. God gives us the net called ministry methods in how we reach our world and keep the body of Christ connected. And again, I repeat, the net represents what you can hold. A statement I read, I thought that was good, said it's important to remember that each of these nets, they have capacity, they have design, and they have limitation. They are not bad. In fact, they're all necessary, but they are still human-made, and they all have boundaries. Now, I want to start tonight by saying something right out the gate, and that is your net cannot contain what God wants to do through you, in you, and for you. Your idea for that particular business, or your method for growth in a department, your structure, your system, it's limited in how far you can go. And why is that? It's because nets created by humanity, whether they're literal or symbolic, they all have a structure. They all have a capacity before they begin to stretch and then to finally break. But on this Wednesday night, Brother Jones, I've come to preach, I believe, what God put in my spirit. At the beginning of the week, I've come to preach and prayerfully help somebody get your faith back in your spirit. I've come to preach about our net breaking God. And I've come to preach and to tell you that it's time for you, it's time for me to let go of what you can control and let God break the net. Our text tonight told us that these men had fished all night long. They had fished and they had fished in the same exact place that God was speaking to them to go back and fish again. And their nets were prepared that night for the drought. Their nets were ready, but nothing appeared. Nothing came to the surface when they drug those nets out of the water time and time again. But the moment they obeyed and the moment they allowed God to get involved in that equation, their structure, their idea, their model, their net could not contain what was on the way. I feel this right here. Before God ever broke the net with a whole draught of fishes, the net was already broke, but it was tied to them listening and obeying the voice of God. Because what had looked hopeless just a few hours before, it was now full, and it wasn't just full, but it was breaking with promise. And I've come tonight to preach to somebody that if you'll obey what God is telling you, your net is fixing to break. But I don't want you to fear, because it's God who's breaking the net. He specializes in breaking our nets of security. He specializes in breaking our nets of structure, our nets. The net breaker tonight, I believe, is in this room to tell this church that this net called the sanctuary that you're sitting in right now, it cannot hold the people that the net breaker is going to bring up in this house.
God, help me right now. I know it's Wednesday night, but help me right now, Holy Ghost. This net called the sanctuary. You hear this, preacher? I felt it tonight in study. This net called the church. It's only one of many that God is going to fill up in this place. And God's going to lodge people. God, help me right now. God's going to lodge people out of this house. They'll start churches all over America. God will send missionaries from this house. This is a net where fish will leave, where fish will go. God said, I'm going to break the net if you can but trust what I'm telling you right now. I'm a net breaking God. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to wake you up, but it's a good idea to wake up. You won't know how you get the net breaker moving. You want to know how you get the net breaker breaking nets? You simply obey his voice. You simply listen to what he's saying. And I don't care if you tried it before and it didn't work. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, we're going to obey God. And it's our obedience that produces the miracle. Is Brother Lynn here tonight? Lynn English? Hallelujah. There you are. Hey. Amen. You're right there. Amen. Brother Lynn told me on Sunday a great report, and I was fired up. He said, man, we had 33 kids in Sunday school. He said, man, I believe it was the most we've had since COVID. And, man, that fired me up. But Lynn, I want you to hear me tonight. I thank God for that. But I'm telling you and I'm telling this church what I know prophetically right now. 33 is just the surface, because the net breaker is here. And in Jesus' name, we're going to start that van again. And God's going to give us two more vans. And we're going to pick up three van loads of kids on Sunday morning. I want the net to break so much that you come in this service frantic saying, there's 100 babies. Where do we put them? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to thank God because the net breaker showed up. And the net breaker said, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm trying to get faith back in your spirit to believe that same God is here on a Wednesday night to tell you, I'm fixing to break the net. I think we should all stand in faith and give God praise because he's fixing to break the net up in this room. Woo! God, I thank you in advance. I praise you, God. I'm telling you, you got to release our faith. Now, I know enough about God to know that God ain't just going to dump it in your laps. He told the disciples, if you'll do the work, if you'll let the nets down, if you'll try again, the ones, I know your nets have been on the shore. I know you've been cleaning them. I know it looks like you tried and it didn't work. But if you're willing to listen to my voice and let those same nets, that same method down one more time, if you'll listen, if you obey my voice, I'm fixing to break your nets. I'm fixing to show up and prove to you if you'll do the work in obedience, I'll break the nets. I know it's going to be tough. It's kids who don't have a mom and daddy in church. It's kids who come from abusive homes. It's kids who will come and they won't be put together. They'll come in disheveled because mama is trying to sleep off an all-nighter. But if you'll go, if you'll work, I'll break the nets. I've heard it preached all my life. I'm going to preach it right now to our future. The devil's not scared of a kid somewhere on a ball field, but he's terrified of a baby in the altar doing something like this because he knows that's the next preacher, that's the next missionary, that's the next great revivalist. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we were up here carrying on like we do. And I kind of got distracted. I saw Brooklyn over somewhere. Where's my people at, Jim? They're here tonight. I lost everybody tonight, everybody. He's blind. God heal him. And I watched Brooklyn. She took off a dancing and shouting, jumping her own little way. And I watched some little kids over here jump wherever they all were. And I told my wife, I got home. I said, you hear what I'm telling you? I said, that's how you, they say, always say, well, how do we train our kids? I'm going to tell you how you train them. You practice. Jathan and I throw the baseball 50,000 times a day, it feels like, during baseball season, because he's trying his best to be Justin Verlander. Yeah. What are we doing? We're practicing. He told me this year, went to his first Astros game, and we were sitting there. He said, Dad, there's going to come a day I'm going to be on that field. I said, my God, you got big dreams and big hopes. And that's all cool in a kid's mind, but that don't mean beans. What matters the most to me is that he understands how we do things up in this house. He understands that it's normal for the entire house to lose their minds at one time. Why? Because what I saw Sunday, when she's 16, she'll kick the devil straight in the mouth and she'll kick the devil back to hell. When she's 18 and that boy's trying to mess with her, she'll say, oh, no, no, no. I told God he deserves my purity. Oh, hallelujah. That'll break every net in. God have mercy. That's how you bring nets. You show them how to do it. You show them how it's done. So yeah, I'm going after the ones that the mama's hooked tonight, because I just believe that baby may be the very next one that turns their entire family upside down. There's got to be a church that says, I'm going to step out in obedience. I'm going to do what you're telling me, God. Oh yeah. I'm on a kid. I'll get off that. Just stay with me. But we ain't gonna wait for two more vans. We got a net outside. I'm gonna move in faith. Y'all just stay with the old preacher. Well, you hear me? Brother Lynn has talked about it. We need to get that net moving again. God have mercy. Fires me up, man. We need to get that net sweeping through a bad place in the city one more time and just see if we can't catch somebody and just see if we can't snatch somebody off the streets and just see if I can't go to where somebody is and say, there's a God that loves. What is that church? That's being the church. Let me help you with something. Being the church was not supposed to be a comfortable, cozy net. The church was always designed to always be breaking repeatedly one service after another. Why? Because God is always moving. God is always going to what's next. And he wants to expand your mindset, your vision. I'm going to say it because it's going to happen. We're going to fill that net up. And if we got to make 10 trips, we'll make 10 trips in the same net. Unless one of you want to give $30,000 and give us another van. Yeah. You can do it. Let God talk to you. He's a net breaking God. He'll blow your mind when you start moving with him. He'll blow your mind when you operate in faith. He'll blow your mind when you just do what he tells you to do. From the beginning of time, he's been breaking nets. From the beginning of time, he's been taking man's obedience to his word, and he's been taking what man could do and turning it into nets that break. Moses' net, Brother Bolton, was about that big. Anybody know what his net was called? A speech impediment. God said, I want to break your net and use you to deliver millions of Jews. And the net said, no, I can't do that. And the net said, I'm not able. And the net said, don't you know that I don't have good oratory skills? Don't you know I talk way too fast? I do all this. I stutter. I can't. And God got sick of it. So, all right. And this is what he would say to me if we were in back where I live in Southeast Texas. All right, Brad. Since you're so spiritually ignorant right now, and since you don't believe I can use your impossibility, since you don't believe I'm able to take what you can't do and make it into something great, you got a man named Aaron. He's on the way. And if you'll just let him speak, I'll give you the words to say, and I'll still break the net. And when he got delivered of his net, God broke that net. And not only did God break that net, but God used that man mightily, not just to set the greatest jailhouse rock in all of history of mankind. 2 million Jews got out of Egypt. Not only that, but that man stood at a Red Sea and he said these words, I've seen the net breaker work before. Let's see if it works one more time. Stretch out thy rod, Moses, and see if I can't part the Red Sea. What's that in your hand, Moses? I know it's a rod. I know it don't look like much. But if you'll just take what you got, if you'll just use what you got, Moses, I'm going to break some things in front of you. I'm going to break your net of insecurity. I'm going to break that net of complacency. I'm going to take you above and beyond. And God broke that net, and God used that man in a way that men have very seldom ever been used in the history of mankind. There was another man named Joshua. He knew all about a net breaking God. He was a military leader. His mindset operated in a net called military strategy, natural battle plans. He thought practical. He thought in reality. But the net breaker. See, now I'm finna challenge you to do something you ain't never did before. This ain't gonna make sense to your net. But I want you to go to Jericho. And I want you to march 7 times. And on that 7th day, I want you to march 7 times. And I want those screeching, ugly ram's horns to blow first. And then I want the people to shout. And when they shout, I'm going to show you how we break nets around here. Watch me. And the Bible says that when Joshua got tied to obedience, when Joshua got connected to the net breaker, the Bible says when he obeyed God, when he did what God said to do, it's all great, it's all good. I love how the walls fell. I love how they got victory, how they killed everybody in the city. That's all wonderful. That's all great. I thank God that God busted up Joshua's net and let him realize you can do things outside of your structure. But the most powerful thing about the obedience was that little lady in the city named Rahab, who the Bible says when the spies came in the land, the Bible says they told her, if you'll keep us and if you won't tell anybody we came, God's going to spare your household. And the Bible says when they got back, reported to Joshua, and she obeyed. When they got back, her house was the only one standing. And what's so powerful about this net breaking God is he can kill your enemies and preserve his lineage, because Rahab was in the direct lineage of Jesus Christ. She was, thank God somebody got tied to obedience. Thank God somebody wasn't tied to their structure and said, we can't do it that way. We've always, no. The method's not, the message never changes, but the method may change 4,000 times, and that's okay. I'm chasing after a net breaking God. I want God to break up my structure, break up my routine. Gideon. Man, it's one of the funniest stories in the Bible. Isn't it funny how God talks to you backwards? Anybody ever read the story on Gideon? Anybody? If not, you need to all read the story on Gideon before Sunday. That's your homework assignment. Read the story on Gideon before Sunday. God works backwards, Sister Candy. The Bible says that when Gideon, this is crazy, Brother Price. The Bible says Gideon is in a wine press threshing wheat. Anybody know why he was in the wine press threshing wheat? Who said that? He was hiding, Biden. He was hiding. Some of y'all catch that. He was hiding, Biden, right? Yeah. He was hiding. Why was he hiding? He was afraid of the adversary. Anybody know what the first thing the angel told Gideon? Say it again. There was another word in front of him. He said, you are a mighty man of valor. And I thought, I don't know about that. This dude is hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, because he feels like he's the least in his family. He feels like he's got nothing to offer. He's insecure. He's broken. He's the least in his father's house. He feels like he's a nobody. And this angel showed up working and saying, listen, I'm going to tell you your ending. Because right now your presence beating your brains out. Right now, your presence telling you you're nothing, you're nobody, you'll never make it, you'll never be anything in your life. You'll always be like your daddy. You'll always be like your mama. You'll always be a broke, disgusted individual. And the Lord said, let me talk to his future right quick. You are a mighty man of valor. You are a mighty lady of God. If I can get you out of that net, if I can get you out of your net and get you to believe and tie your faith in obedience to my word, I know it's scary. I know it don't feel right. I know it don't look right. But if you can trust me, Gideon, when you get outside the wine press, when I get you to that place I'm calling you to, there'll be people 4,000 years later, son, in a place called Paris, Texas, there'll be an old Southeast Texas boy preaching about you, telling them if you can get faith like Gideon, you can watch God break a net so big, it'll blow your family's mind. I want to help somebody right now and tell you, you need to step out in faith and believe that God is calling you out of insecurities, out of complacency, out of comfort. Well, glory. I'm telling you, God wants to push this church. You hear me? I know this is church talk, but we're mostly church folk tonight. God wants to push this church into a red hot Holy Ghost outpouring that has not been seen up until this point. Not because of Brad, I'm nothing. I'm just a kid. But I know the Lord. It his desire for him to keep moving, to keep progressing. And he's telling the body, you need to start praying. God, show me where. God, show me who. God, show me what. And God, tell me when. And if you'll tell me, I'll obey. Because I know if I obey, the net's going to break. Never forget, some years ago, I was preaching a message or teaching a series on how to hear the voice of God. I ain't got that figured out, just in case you want to know. People always say there's a book that T.F. Tenney wrote years ago, a great book entitled, Was That God or Was That Me? You may want to read that sometime. But lots of times it ain't God talking. Lots of times it's just you, and it probably is bad pizza. Amen. But God speaks to everybody differently. There is no one way to zero in on God's voice. Sometimes it's an impression. Sometimes it's just a thought. Sometimes you wake up and there it is. Sometimes it's praying over it. Whatever it is, God has a way of speaking to you in his own unique way. So don't try to pattern yourself after others. Okay? You find God's voice for your life. I know I'm on a side, Trevor, but I feel it. You find God's voice for your life. You let God speak to you. And in time, that will develop and grow. Man, well, praise God. Never forget teaching a series on hearing the voice of God. Now, lots of times in the past, and you'll probably see it now, when if I'm preaching or teaching things, it may not all be from I got 30 years of experience, but it could be I'm walking this journey of faith alongside of you. And there's been many times, about 99% of the time when I'm preaching to Brad. So you can have great comfort in that. Well, he's being mean. No, I'm being mean to me too, I guess. I'm preaching me in a puddle. I'm trying to get me. Why? Because that's what preaching is. Preaching about hearing the voice of God. I never forget this. I said, church, we've got to be sensitive to hearing the voice of God and that God can speak to us and that God can help us. Never forget my wife. She went to Walmart, I think it was the next day, and she was standing in the checkout line where the magazines are at, and she overheard on the next aisle a lady frantically on the call screaming speaking loud and crying and screaming, and she could tell on the other end of the call somebody had just delivered the news that somebody had just died. And in that moment, again, it's easy to be in church and walk up to somebody. I feel the Lord still wants me to pray for you. Well, that's easy. But being in Walmart and in faith, when someone is in a tragic situation, not knowing who they are, where they're from, how they're going to respond to you, what they're going to say when you say, can I pray for you? What's going to happen? How do I know it's God? I never forget, as long as I live, she said, I felt it. Just go around the corner. And go where she is. And when she rounded the corner, the lady turned to her and said these words, will you pray for me? And in that moment, you hear me right now, just a little bit of sensitivity. It's not some I'm Nona Freeman, I'm Lee Stonking. No, no, no. It was just God saying, I can use anybody who's available. And if they'll obey, I'll break the net. I'm telling somebody right now, you may be this close to winning an entire family if you would just obey what the
calling you to do.
Ephesians 3 says, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we, according to the power that works in us. That boy in the Gospels, he had 5 loaves, 2 fish. He gave everything he had. That was his net, just a small meal. It wasn't enough to cover nothing. But God said, if you'll just obey me, and I'm going to turn right here, but you just hear what I'm telling you. God said, if you'll just step out and obey in the little, I can do something great with the little. I can take little and make much out of it. Samson had a jawbone, the Bible said, and he defeated 1,000 Philistines. David had 1 sling, 1 stone, and he killed Goliath. I'm going to tell you the difference right now. I told someone today, you can have assignments all day long, but if you have an anointing on top of that assignment, there ain't a devil in hell that can stop what the Holy Ghost wants to do. There ain't nothing that can stop the moving of the Holy Ghost as he moves through you. So what I'm telling you is this, is that God blesses obedience and he works best with nothing. This is Thomas. I know Brother Thomas ain't here, but you can relay the message for me after church. How about that? I felt it beginning this week. I'm not going to embarrass somebody. You hear me? I felt my spirit. You hear what I'm telling you? God is going to bless. And God's going to take and go above and beyond what y'all can ask or think. And if God chooses to do it through that cleaning business, you hear what I'm telling you right now. He said, if you'll just give me little, I'm going to make much out of that thing. I feel that. Oh, I don't know. That's prosperity gospel. That ain't prosperity gospel. That's Bible. Y'all believe in stuff like that? Y'all believe in the law of the harvest? Y'all believe that if you sow, you'll reap? You believe that God said, if you'll just test me, if you'll just try me, I'll pour out a blessing on top of you that you cannot contain? Do you believe that God really is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do you really believe that God is able to make a way out of a no way, that God can do anything he wants? Do you hear me? Oh, I feel crazy right now. God can birth up in this house. I'm not preaching prosperity, but I feel it. God can birth in this house multimillionaires who can fund the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm trying to preach somebody back into faith and tell you he's a net breaking God. Stop putting limitations on what God can do. I ain't got time to tell you the story because we out of time. But I've told you stories before. Some people who impacted my life greatly. And I'm not just talking about giving financially, but it is tied to this. There's been 3 people in my life that have radically shaped my view on this net-breaking God and what he can do with your little. One was Pastor Lonnie Jordan, who's my great uncle, who I had the privilege of following after his 34 years of pastoring. He taught me the power of sowing financially into the kingdom that God always gives back to his church. Ain't about getting back funds. It's about obeying his word. Some folks think if I give, I get a Mercedes. Ha ha. Ha ha. Yeah. We don't give to get. We give in obedience to his word. And I ain't preaching on tithe and offerings, not, but it's scripture. You rob God and you tithe and you offer. It's a scriptural principle. You give because it's obedience to his word. Lonnie Jordan, second person, couple that impacted my life greatly was a people named Clayton and Judy Nugent. And the third couple was Paul Reese, who I want to tell you about. Paul Reese is probably one of the top 10 men in all of America who owns honeybees. When they came into Day Zeta, folks, you got to know, Day Zeta, we had 900-something people. Everybody knows your business. Everyone knows who you are, what you've been doing. Yeah, it's just like that. Yeah. And so when I got there, I was told there's 3 family names you don't talk about. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. And so I made sure I didn't say a word about nobody in that town because they all kin. But when I met Paul Reese, this is powerful. He was 18. He started honeybees. He now has around 35,000 hives that come into Day Zeta. That's about, I don't know, how many
100 truckloads of hives that come all over America, coming little bitty old days at it. And he said, I was 18 years old. He said, I went to the bank to get a loan to buy a car. And this is crazy. The salesman knew his daddy. He said, I know your daddy has messed with bees before. He said, I won't give you any money for a car, but I will give you a loan if you'll start a bee business. And he said, thanks be to God. I listened to the banker that day because now I can buy any car I want to buy. Hear me. I'm going to tell you the power of a net-breaking God. He told me the story. I've heard the story. I got there late. I got there in 2015. They started coming to Day Z in the year 2000. They said when they came to Day Z in 2000, they were driving an old beat-up van, staying in hotels, maxed out on credit cards, trying to survive. And he told me these words. He said, Pastor Davis, he said, my wife was so consumed with giving and obeying the voice of God. Now, I don't recommend this. It gets you in trouble, okay? But this is what she did. He said, she was so consumed with giving. I'd watch her. She'd go to the bank and borrow money because the Holy Ghost said, give that person this and give that person that. And she'd do it in obedience. He said, it freaked me smooth out. What is she doing giving money like that we ain't got to give? Hear me, though. But I heard him about 7 years ago when I told you the story. He had offered. He said, I want to buy you some land. Well, the land deal fell through, and we didn't buy the land. I can take you to where I was at on Lake Sam Rayburn fishing. God's country, amen, of Sam Rayburn. And I was fishing up there, and I got the phone call. He said, Brad, I want you to come back today. He said, I need to talk to you. I walked in his office, and I've told you the story, but I want to relate something I didn't tell you. He said, I want to give you this check. I said, hang on. I said, I can't take that check. I said, you didn't buy the property. It's not my land. And he said these words, you don't understand something. I've learned the law of the harvest. What I give is going to come back home. And I watched a man, hear me, it freaked me out, slide a check for $27,000 across the desk and say, all hands off, don't belong to me, it belongs to you and the Lord. And I learned in that moment, I've watched his life, and I know I've spent some time to stay with me, but I'm telling somebody right now, if you'll move in that kind of faith, there is supernatural blessings that will begin to flow into your life. There are supernatural things that God will begin to do in your marriage, in your home. It's not just finance, but God can open doors that no man can shut. God can do all kinds of crazy things when you get outside of your net. Hope I didn't lose you. You talk about money and you get stoned to death. Yeah. Our nets, I'm coming to a close. Our nets, they consist of our plans, our efforts, our financial strategies, our strength, or expectations. But his net consists of his power, his provision, his sovereignty, his ability to bless beyond what you can contain. What I'm telling you is tonight is this church, I believe God has sent me tonight to tell you, and I'll reemphasize this over and over, that God wants to break the net. Whatever it is, God wants to break the net of racism. Break it. African-American folks are just like you. Hispanic folks are just like you. There won't be segregation in heaven. Uh-oh. Hear what I'm telling you? There won't be any type of thing. Well, they don't see it like me. They don't. No. You better get over that spirit. That's a net. And God wants to break that net and tell you we can all coexist together. We can all have a church that looks like the United Nations. We can have a church of every race that's in this city, every color that's in this city. We can worship together. We can sing together. We can lead together. We can preach together. We can reach together. We can baptize together. We can see folks feel the Holy Ghost. Everybody can be in this house. I'm not afraid of that at all. You don't scare me at all. It is the will of God, and it will happen. That there'll be, I pray God give us more. Uh-oh, I better move on. I ain't going to do it. God's going to do it. I'm telling you. Hear what I'm telling you? God's going to bring it in. God's going to bring that in here. Well, we've tried that before. I know you have, but God said try one more time.
We tried to reach them before, but that didn't work. So, all right, try one more time. Yeah, but we taught all night long, and they didn't want to be with us. And we know, you better try one more time. Because it could be this time when you draw it up, there's a missionary in that net. It could be this time when you draw it up, there's a guitar player in that net. It could be this time there's a good old guy who can play a Hammond B3 organ in that net, good God Almighty. And he can shake this house with his voice and preaching and singing and worship and leading. That's what we are after today. We're after a net breaking God. We talk a lot about net worth. Go on. Anybody besides me? Now, I'm strange. Anybody ever Googled someone's net worth? It's two of y'all. That's not good. I'm alone up here tonight. Hey. I've been known to Google. God, LeBron James getting paid what? They getting paid what to do what? Net worth. What is that? It's your value. Based on what you own, what you've saved, and what you've built. It's net worth. Some man's worth $5,000. Some may just, net worth may be just glad to be here. But I want to introduce you tonight to a net breaker who is not limited by your net worth. I want to tell you what this net breaker, his net worth consists of. You ready for this? Haggai, I love that. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8. This is his net worth. The Lord's saying this. The silver is mine and the gold. We fight over paper money and he makes gold. And we think that God can't make a way for us. And we think that God can't come through. And God said, hello. I know your net worth is zero, but I made it. I created it. And I got ways of getting it to you that you never dreamed it could come to you. I'm fighting a wall right now because materialism says I've always done it. You hear me? You're going to hit a wall someday that you can't do it, and it's going to take God to come through for you. And when you get to that point, you'll need a net-breaking God to step in your life and say, I got this, just trust me right quick. I've got this, just obey what I tell you to do. I've got this next move, if you'll just listen to my voice. The net-breaker tells us, my net worth is limitless. My net worth has no beginning, it has no ending. My net worth, it specializes and does its best work outside of your structure. God wants to break our nets, and this is why, and I'm done. He wants to expand the vision of this church. You hear what I'm going to tell you, and I'll hush. Habakkuk said these words, write the vision and make it plain. And he tells you why he said that. So he that runs can read it and doesn't stop. He said, when you write this vision, when I break the net and I give you my direction, it's got to be a running church. It can't be a church confused about its purpose. It can't be a church confused about what it's called to do. We'll talk about this June 29th in Equip Leadership, but it can't be a church that's confused about who are we reaching, what are we doing. No. It's got to be one vision, one mind, one ideal, one purpose. Why? Because God is trying to tell the church, I want to hone in on some things and I want to kick the door wide open and give you something above and beyond yourself. Vision comes from God, and it's meant to grow as we walk in obedience. Proverbs say, where there is no vision, the people. And God wants you in obedience to step outside of your comfort and let him break the nets of complacency. One of the most strangest stories in the Bible is this, and I close with Isaiah 54. Listen to how the Lord begins this verse in Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren. I got a problem with those first three words. Barren people ain't got nothing to sing about in the spirit. Why would I sing if I'm not producing? Why would I sing if nothing's not coming out? Why would I sing if I'm barren? He continues. Thou that didst not bear, those that didn't produce, break forth into singing. What? Break forth into singing. And he goes farther and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Watch this. Enlarge the place of thy tent. And let them watch, stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. And verse 3 says, if you'll obey me, there's a verse 3 that says this, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles. He said, if you will obey me, if you understand, I don't work how you work. I say celebrate before you win. I say do before I do. I say operate before I operate. And if you'll just step out in faith, if you'll stretch yourself, I'll break your nets and you'll break forth on the right hand and the left hand, and I will do a work that's above and beyond you. Let's all stand tonight. God, hear what I'm telling you. From the left side to the right side to the back side to those in TV land to the future of this church, you hear what I'm telling you. God wants to expand your vision. And God wants you to break out of the shell. I've preached it for 3 services. Break out of the shell of complacency. Break out of the shell of comfort. And let the Holy Ghost break your net of every excuse as to why you can't. As to why it won't happen. As to why it's always been. We tried and No. God said, get rid of the excuses. Just trust. I'm telling you, boys, to put down one more time. And if you'll trust me this time, I'm going to break your net so big. I tie it back to what I said at the beginning. When I said there'll come a day we send church planters out of this church, there'll come a day we send missionaries out of this church, because the Bible said when they couldn't contain it, they asked for others to help them to come in and gather the harvest with them. And what I'm telling you, we're not just asking others to come here and gather the harvest. We want to be a distributor in this house and send people all over the entire world and let the world know there's a church in Northeast Texas that believes that God can break every net. There's a church in Northeast Texas that believes that God can break the net of cancer. God can break the net of heart disease. God can break the net of diabetes. There's a church in Paris, Texas that believes that God can send missionaries and world evangelists and all kinds of people out these doors to harvest this world. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe God can do that? I believe you do. And I ask you tonight in faith, I pray, we're going to pray for relief, but I ask you in faith to let your faith go. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to believe that he is, like I said, a rewarder. You have to believe that God can do anything he pleases whenever he desires to do it. I said it in my first service here, I believe, or second service here. God ain't going to send anybody else in here to do the job God called you to do. You are uniquely you. Amen. I'm going to talk about it in a few weeks in that leadership, but you hear me. God wants to take things out of you and give to the rest of the body that can increase. What is God trying to do? He's trying to break that net. He's trying to get you to trust him to go above and beyond yourself. I could never do that. I know you can't, but with God you can. Now, I'm weird, but I'm a believer that everybody in the house can be a volunteer in the church. I'm a believer if the church runs 300, there can be 300 volunteers. But that ain't right. It's supposed to be 10%. Who told you that? The devil is a lie. God didn't, I promise you, God didn't tell you that. And every leader will tell you, you lying, going to hell. It is the will of God, hear me tonight, for everybody, I'm telling you, in this house to be a part of the move that God's going to send here. And when he does, he has to break the nets off of all of your expectations. I'm not talking about changing the message. That ain't changing, baby. The message remains. But God wants to kick off the doors of methods and how I think. No. Let's do it however God wants to do it. And I hear Isaiah. Is it Isaiah or Jeremiah? Isaiah, I think, here am I, Lord. What did he say? Send me. What he's saying is, I'm available. If it's appropriate, would you grab your neighbor by the hand? Let's just pray right now. Ask God to help us, Lord, take off the blinders of our eyes tonight before we go home. Would you have me really pray right now, Jesus? I know it's Wednesday night. I know we're tired, God. I know work's tomorrow, but help us, God. Help us, Holy Ghost, to take off the blinders, these things that blind us, these things that hold us hostage, oh God. Help us, Holy Ghost, to see what you see, God. I'm nobody without you. I got to have your anointing. I need your power. I need you to give me assignments, God. But anoint me, God, to do the assignments, Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost, to be the vessel you call me to be. Help everybody in this house to realize they're called to do something in the kingdom. They're called to be somebody in the kingdom, Lord. Help us to be introduced again to the original net breaker. Help us, Holy Ghost, God. Break our nets of doubt. Break our nets of unbelief. Break our nets of fear and complacency and insecurity, Lord. Break it tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray. We thank you for it, Lord, by faith in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph tonight. God, we love you, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, God. Amen, amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for coming to Wednesday night service. And our prayer is that God would do an incredible work this Sunday in service. Amen. I encourage all of you, please be here this Sunday. Bring somebody with you. The Holy Ghost is going to break out in this house. Amen. I believe God wants to fill folk with the Holy Ghost in this place on Sunday. You believe that? Amen. Let's see God do a work here on Sunday in Jesus' name. I mean, I feel it tonight. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, hear me. Apostle Peter said you got to repent of your sins. You have to ask God to forgive you. You got to turn around and go the opposite way. Amen. God don't demand perfection. He just demands you head in the right direction. You repent. We'll baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be baptized. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you will speak in a heavenly language as God gives the utterance. You can't be taught this. It's not gibberish, it's a real language. God will speak through you. If you haven't received that, it's for you. It is for you. This Sunday, God can do it. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you back here on Sunday, Lord willing, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.